High winds forced Baumgartner to abort his skydive. SpaceX now says a secondary payload failed to make orbit. And American Eagle pilots ratify a restructuring agreement. This is Aero News for Wednesday, October the 10th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. High winds in the New Mexico desert have once again forced the postponement of Felix Baumgartner's attempt to break records both for skydiving altitude and freefall speed. The launch of the Red Bull Stratus capsule from the desert outside of Roswell, New Mexico, was stopped at 11:42 local time Tuesday morning, just before Felix Baumgartner's giant 30 million cubic foot balloon had been fully inflated and made ready for takeoff. The team had planned an early morning launch, but pushed the attempt back due to strong winds at 700 feet, the balloon's top height, and waited for the right weather window to open. The launch was scheduled then for 11:40 a.m. The balloon inflation had begun, and then gusty winds picked up and made a launch impossible. Felix Baumgartner is trying to undertake a stratospheric balloon flight to more than 120,000 feet and attempt a history-making freefall jump in which he would become the first man to break the speed of sound in freefall. Baumgartner says he hopes to help improve our scientific understanding of the stratosphere and how the body copes with extreme conditions so high above the Earth's surface. The team still intends to launch the capsule to the targeted altitude carried by a stratospheric balloon. The plan calls for Baumgartner to make a freefall back to Earth at supersonic speed before parachuting to the ground. At this stage, the mission team says it is closely monitoring possible new launch days before a green light is given for another countdown. While the engine shutdown that occurred on the Falcon 9 rocket during launch Sunday evening will not affect the arrival of the Dragon cargo vessel at the International Space Station on schedule, it did mean that a secondary payload on the flight failed to reach its planned orbit. Along with supplies for the space station crew, the Falcon 9 was boosting a communications satellite for Virginia-based Orbcom Company. In a statement, the company said that the first prototype of its second generation of satellites was launched on the Cargo Resupply Services mission aboard the SpaceX Falcon 9 launch vehicle from Cape Canaveral, Florida, last Sunday. The OG-2 prototype satellite, flying as a secondary payload on this mission, was separated from the Falcon 9 launch vehicle at approximately 2100 Eastern Daylight Time. However, due to an anomaly on one of the Falcon 9's first stage engines, the rocket did not comply with pre-planned International Space Station safety gates to allow it to execute the second burn. For this reason, the OG-2 prototype satellite was deployed into an orbit that was lower than intended. Orbcom and Sierra Nevada Corporation engineers have been in contact with the satellite and are working to determine if and the extent to which the orbit can be raised to an operational orbit using the satellite's onboard propulsion system. In mid-2013, Orbcom plans to launch an additional 8 OG-2 satellites on a Falcon 9, which will be placed into orbits that are optimized to deliver the best coverage for the enhanced OG-2 messaging services. The remainder of the constellation of 18 OG-2 satellites is expected to be launched on the Falcon 9 in 2014. The American Eagle pilots, represented by the Airline Pilots Association International, have ratified a bankruptcy restructuring agreement that both ALPA and Eagle's senior executives tentatively agreed to in August. With more than 85% of the eligible pilots casting ballots, 75% of Eagle pilots voted in favor of the agreement. Representatives of the American Eagle Master Executive Council, the union's governing body, approved the tentative agreement in September and sent it out for a ratification vote to all Eagle pilots. The newly ratified contract will now be submitted to the bankruptcy court for the Second District of New York for its final approval. ForeFlight Mobile for the iPad is already one of the most used aviation apps in the world, but the company wants to make it better by testing how pilots really use the software in the cockpit. To that end, ForeFlight will record students, instructors, and participating pilots, flying simulators, and real aircraft at the Redbird Skyport in San Marcos, Texas. The studies will offer insights to drive app development based on observed pilot needs. New features and hardware can then be tested in the same environment for immediate feedback. The week of December 3rd through the 7th, ForeFlight's development team will converge on the Skyport for their first annual Code and Fly Hack Week, where they will work out new features and jump into the sims to test them. The developers will also hold open lunches during the week where any pilots in the area can join them to meet the team or get help with 4Flight Mobile. Additionally, Redbird and 4Flight have partnered on a broader plan for integrating 4Flight into pilot training in Redbird's migration curriculum. 4Flight will explore additional functions to make the iPad a better tool for training from pre-flight through post-flight, as well as a cockpit resource. This effort is aided by Redbird's Cygnus hardware, which lets an iPad used in a Redbird simulator or at a desktop simulation behave exactly as it would in real flight. The FBI says that laser attacks against airliners are on the rise, nearing what is being described as an epidemic for airline safety. On its blog, the Bureau says that incidents are projected to reach 3,700 this year, compared to just 283 in 2005. That's a rise of more than 1,100%, and that doesn't include the thousands of attacks that go unreported every year. These incidents are dangerous to pilots in the cockpit, passengers aboard the plane, and people on the ground. Those who aim a laser pointer at an aircraft can be prosecuted under two federal statutes. A law put into effect this year makes pointing a laser at an aircraft a crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a fine of up to $11,000 per violation. Under a law already on the books, those who interfere with the operation of an aircraft can receive up to 20 years in prison and be fined $250,000. When Aero News continues, unfair labor practice charges are filed against Boeing, a weekend spent at Camp Sikorsky, and a severed internet cable leads to flight cancellations.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, October the 10th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Unfair labor practice charges were filed Friday against Boeing after the aerospace giant reportedly videotaped union members engaged in solidarity marches to support contract negotiations, seized employees' cameras, and deleted photos of the activities. The Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace filed the two charges against Boeing after receiving complaints from members at multiple Boeing locations. Boeing surveillance and/or camera seizing occurred during lunchtime solidarity events by SPEEA members in Portland and Everett. The National Labor Relations Act protects employees' rights to engage in concerted union activities and prohibits employers from interfering in these activities. For the past few weeks, SPEEA members have held solidarity marches, meetings, and other events at many Boeing facilities to show support for their SPEEA negotiation teams. The two sides have been trying since April to negotiate new contracts for 23,000 engineers and technical workers at facilities around Puget Sound, Portland, Utah, and California. More than 500 Boy and Girl Scouts and their leaders from Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York pitched their tents for a three-day campout on the Sikorsky Aircraft Grounds in Stratford over the weekend. As part of the campout, the students learned about aerospace, electricity, emergency preparedness, energy, and other merit badge subjects. Sikorsky subject matter experts from a cross-section of different company departments shared their knowledge with the scouts. Many of those Sikorsky employees are former scouts and continue to volunteer for other scouting activities throughout the year. The scouts also toured the production facility, including the avionics labs and final assembly lines, getting a bird's-eye view of helicopter manufacturing. One of the highlights of the event was the outstanding address by the Eagle Scout, who attended the very first Camp Sikorsky and who today enjoys his career as an electrical engineer at Sikorsky. His story resonated with the scouts about their own career potential in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and math. A Sprint fiber network cable severed in the Seattle area Monday significantly delayed Alaska Airlines and Horizon Air flights throughout the day. Sprint provides the airlines with connectivity to Sabre, the system that carriers use for reservations, to check in passengers, and to purchase tickets. Sprint Internet service was disrupted at 0730 Pacific Daylight Time and was restored about noon, Alaska Air said in a news release. As of noon, the two airlines had already canceled 70 flights, affecting more than 6,000 passengers. More than 130 flights had departed, some up to 4 hours late. It was not reported how the cable was severed. As this Aerocast is being written and recorded, the America's Challenge gas balloon race is heading into its final critical hours. Two teams landed on Tuesday, including the British team of John Mason and Clive Bailey. They landed about 22 miles northwest of Madisonville, Kentucky, while Americans Kevin Brielman and Mike Wallace landed near Kellerton, Iowa. Mark Sullivan and Sherry White are now the lead balloon nearing the Greenville-Spartanburg, South Carolina area, having traveled more than 1,200 miles from Albuquerque, New Mexico. The two remaining teams are each about 100 and 200 miles behind, respectively. The challenge facing all three teams, assuming they fly through the night and into daylight today on Wednesday, October the 10th, will be to anticipate when and where they might strike the East Coast and plan their landing accordingly. We should know the winners of the race before sunset today. Reporting from Albuquerque, New Mexico, I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.